be my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to thank all of you for praying for me. Whenever you pray in your devotion, you remember me, you utter a prayer for me. Thank you. And I'm very happy that the Lord has so far preserved me, and I'm able to come to minister His word with all of you. It's great to see you, and we are all looking forward to the day when Christ will return. All right, if you have your Bible with you, you please turn to John chapter 17, and the passage we are considering is from verses 17 to the end of the chapter. And I have entitled this passage, Sanctify Us with Thy Truth. You see that nowadays, we are as the children of God, especially chosen by God. We are Christians, are children of God, not only here in this province of Tengah, but everywhere in the world, where the people of God who are called Christians are together. And we have been chosen by God, and we have become His children. But there is one thing that the Lord desires of all His children, wherever we are. And He wanted us all to love one another. Because before the Lord Jesus Christ departed from His disciples from this world, He gave His last words to His disciples. And the commandment which He highlighted, was that the disciples should love one another as He loved us. And this is the commandment that He gave before He departed. I wonder whether Christians all over the world exercise this love, the manner in which He has expressed. We should love one another. We should love our brethren who are also Christians, calling blood-bought children of God. We should love them as Christ loved us. And the greatest love is that we should be willing, prepared, even to lay down our life for them. Because greater love has no man except that he gave his life for another. And the Lord Jesus Christ wanted us all to love one another in that manner, that extent, that the nature of our love for one another and the extent of that love for one another, that when times are required, in such situation, we are willing to lay down even our lives. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has told all His disciples, His 12 disciples that were, and that is also including all of us. Indeed, the 12 disciples have given down their life in the service of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ and God the Father. And that is also to all of us. But if we look today at Christians all over the world, as one body, we see that there is a need to say this again, that we should love one another to the extent that we lay down our life for another in some particular situations when the need arises. And therefore, other kinds of love, if we remember this love of one another, even to the extent of laying down our life, other kinds of love in which we use so often is nothing. It's all right if we are prepared even to lay down our life for another. What is there to love another in many other things? It is easier and better. And yet, we as Christians lack all these things. There is a lack of this genuine love, I would say, for one another. We always love one another with a lot of discounts. And this is not what the Lord wants us. And through this passage, we will see what the Lord Himself would like His children to become. So let us learn from this passage. You will find that in this passage, the Lord has given three requests as He prayed to His Father in heaven. God the Father, or God His Father, He prayed to Him. And He, at least, made three requests. And so let us look at the first request. And the first request in verse 17. As He prayed, His first request, He said, sanctify. He said, sanctify them. That means, He prayed to the Father, sanctify them. That means the 12 disciples. And in this way, it includes all the children of God. Through thy truth. And what is thy truth? Well, it is given here, thy truth. Thy truth, thy word is truth. The God's word is truth. That means here we have the written word, the Bible. In fact, you also know that Jesus Christ has said, I am the truth. So in other words, Jesus Christ's words, what He has taught disciples, or all His disciples, they had the truth. And all of us has the truth. And those disciples have written down, many of them have written down in the book, and this now we have the infallible and inerrant word of God, inspired, and they are written down. For example, the New Testaments, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you have the Acts of the Apostles, and then the epistles of Paul, and including the general epistles, and the last book by John the Apostle, all been inspired and recorded down. These are the words of God, and they are the truth. They are the words of the Father, God the Father, and at the same time, it's also the words of Jesus Christ. What the Father says also is the same as what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Both God and Son. God the Father and the Son. And here we have God's word said, sanctify them by thy truth, or through the truth, by thy word. Now, the word sanctification, or sanctify, is to make holy, according to the Greek word, to make holy. But this work of making holy is not the work of any man, any Christian. If you are a Christian, you are born again, you don't sanctify, you unable to sanctify yourself. Only God can sanctify. Here the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to God the Father, sanctify the disciples, sanctify them through the truth. That means by the word of God. And so sanctification is to make holy. Now, we have no power to make ourselves, because we are all depraved sinners. We can't. Only God sanctifies us. Just like believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no power to save. We are depraved. God has to call and chose us to become Christians. God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the ability to have faith in Him, believe in Him, and be saved. And just like in the same way, in sanctification, we have to depend on the God the Father to sanctify us. However, God here used another means, and that means is His word. Sanctify through His word, or by His word, by the truth, through His truth. And which means that we have to read to know what God's truth is, which He has given to us, which the Lord Jesus Christ had imparted to the disciples. And they have been recorded for us. And now we have the written word, the truth. It is God's word also. And through that, through these words, we can be, and we obey and read and obey, and then God will sanctify us. So remember that. So God is the one who did the sanctification, not on our part. God is the one. And that's why when we are saved, it is the work of God. Sanctification is the same. So it is the state of a person. Are you sanctified? Yes, God is the one who sanctified me. Sanctify me. His sanctification of me is ongoing. At the same time, God uses another thing. And that provided, He has given us the word, He is sanctifying us, He wants to sanctify us, unless we read His truth, His word. If we do not know His word and do not obey His word, He will not sanctify us. His sanctification on us is ongoing. And so we must, on our part, we must read His word, His truth, and obey it. And then the sanctification work is ongoing until the day we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, all Christians all over the world, God will sanctify all of us only on condition that we read His word. He will sanctify us only through His word. And if we do not know His word nor His truth, we are actually depriving ourselves of that sanctification work of God the Father. All right, that is the most important thing. But regarding our salvation, yes, we are disobedient children. We don't want to. God cannot sanctify us because we do not know His word. But regard to our salvation, God will always be faithful to His covenant. He will save us. However, you see, if you are truly a genuine Christian, a a born-again Christian, you will always try. You will want to obey Him. At least one or two, three commandments, you will obey Him. Yes. You cannot say totally you don't want to read the Word of God and don't want to obey Him. Yes. And you call yourself a Christian. I think that is quite impossible. You are a genuine Christian. You will love the Word of God. You will try your best. Certain commandments you can do, you will do. But certain commandments you cannot do or you will not do. But God would be pleased if each of us will do as many, and if not all His commandments. And then His work of sanctifying us to make us holy and pure to be with Him. Because one day we have to appear before Him. But that day will come when He will cleanse us from all our sins. And then we can be in His presence. All right. So that's the first request. He's asked, pray to the Father to sanctify them through His word. Now this is a very important. So you all understand. I hope you all understand the word sanctification. So the sanctifying work of God the Father is always ongoing. Because in the Greek word here, it is used a continuous tense. It's ongoing. And then if God say, well, through His word, God already take for granted that all of us will read His word and do and obey and perform His work and do His word. God assumed that. God knows that. All we all will try. And we pray God, and God, the Holy Spirit who is in us, will struggle in our hearts, will cause us to obey Him. And then the sanctifying work will carry on to the day when we all will meet the Lord Jesus Christ again. All right, this is the first request that our Lord has. So we must always remember that the sanctifying work of the Father, of God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ is ongoing with us. We always must remember this, that God will make us holy and pure, because that is His will. And His will that we should read His, because He's going to make us, to sanctify us through His word, and therefore it's on our part. We have to read His word, understand it, and do it. And that is the reason I think many Christians do not fall short of this. And we need that. Just imagine all Christians read the word of God, and everybody will do and perform the commandments of God. Now the second request, he says this, it's found in verse 25, Jesus Christ, which Jesus Christ taught the disciples that they should love and one another as Christ loved them. This is the second request. For example, look at verse 15, first of all, verse 15, and chapter 15, verse 9, and he said here, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. And that's what he said. And then you move on to verse 17 of that chapter. He said, if these things I command thee, that you love one another. Now we, just Jesus Christ says, just as God loved him, and so also we should, just as the Father loved him, he has loved us with that same love, and then he asks us to continue in that love as we love one another. Now, Paul gave us an understanding of this love. The Word of God gives us the definition of this love. The Lord himself has just given us this definition, first of all, that we love one another by even greater love as no man than to lay down his life for another, that you have found that already in chapter 15, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave his last words to the disciples. And then he said there in verse, in this passage, and he has said that God has loved him, and that same love, he has loved us. Although he has said that no greater love as a person, except that he gave his life to another, that is a very tall order. But God's love, Paul here describes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you have the description of that love, where Paul used another word, charity. You turn to chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you will find Paul's definition of that love. Let me read to you these few verses here. Paul used the word charity. Charity here is agape love. He said, love suffereth long and is kind. In other words, love is long-suffering. In the face of oppressions, depression, any pressure of oppressions or pressures of any kind, love suffereth long. Love can take it. Love in our hearts, which God's love for us, and the Holy Spirit who is in us, we have that kind of love, and we don't go against the person who mistreat us, pressure us. We hear Paul says that love is long-suffering. He can take it. And then it goes on to say what? And charity envieth not. So charity, if you have love, we see another Christian brother or any person, anyone who is better than us, who has everything, we are not jealous of the person. In fact, some of us, we also praise God for them. Praise God in that they are better than us. So charity envieth not. We are not jealous of them. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity, we have that love in us, God's love in us. We will not be boastful of ourselves. How to become boastful? Let me show you. Let us turn to Esther, the book of Esther, and then let us see what kind of vaunt, how can we not be boastful? Here in chapter 5, Esther chapter 5, and you see Haman. So in verse 11 and 12 and 13, you have here a man called Haman. And look at what he boasts of himself. Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children. Why his children? Because in those days, if you have many children, that means you have many wives, that means you are very rich. And all the things wherein the king had promoted him. So the king had promoted him also, Haman. He was the prime minister at the time. And now he had advanced him above the princes and kings of the king. Now Haman said, moreover, on top of it, in addition, yea, Esther the queen, let no man come in with the king into his banquet that she had prepared but myself. Esther the queen had prepared the banquet, asked the king to come, and only asked Haman to accompany the king and no other people. And here you see Haman boasted. Everyone invited, the king and I myself only. And then carry on. And tomorrow am I invited into her also with the king. Now this you can see how charity or love wanteth not. Love, you do not boast of itself. And here the word of God, Paul himself said, charity wanteth not itself. If you have this love of God in you, you will not be boastful about yourself. Nor is not puffed up. So once you are boastful, you are like puffed up. You are like blown the balloon, big balloon. And what he needs is just a prick on the balloon, the whole thing will collapse. And you carry on. So doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth in not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never fail. This is what this love is. Now, this we don't have to ask if we are prepared to give our life to another person, a brethren or someone, that's the greatest love that ye can express. But here, there are many other aspects of that love which far below the kind that you give to your life. But all these things, with the grace of God, you can perform it. You can do it. And if we as Christians together practice this, what has been described here, then we will show the world, as the word of God says, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we practice it, then we will know, the world will know that these are the special group of people. If they all behave like this, the world can see, and they will see to it that we are special. And why are we special? Because we come from God. Because we come from the Lord Jesus Christ, and through God. God the Father was the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. We have obeyed the truth. Jesus Christ himself said, I'm the truth. And so God's word is the truth. And so we exhibit that. So this is the kind of love that we should have. Now bringing, taking that thing out into more understandable. That means within this church here, we should have this kind of love towards one another. That's how we should treat one another. In this Corinthians 14, and just as the Word of God says here, this love is from the Father who shown to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ himself loved us as the Father says, love him, and he showed that to us. So this is, for example, here in verse 23, I in them, and so that here it means that Christ, he says that he is in the disciples, and thou in me, and here thou, here is referring to God the Father, and thou in me, and they may be perfect in one. So, I in them, and thou, God the Father, in me, and then that they may be perfect in one. That means we all should be together as one unity, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved one. So if we as Christians all love together as one, as God loves Son, the Son loves his followers or his disciples, and his disciples love another, they all are one, the unity. Of course, this unity is not institutional unity. You sign, make Dr. Lion, and all become, you all come together, and individuals. No, this unity is spiritual unity. It is more meaningful. You see the Christians together, when they are together, physically together, you can see that's not the unity. It's the spiritual unity. That you love for one another, you care for one another, you help one another, even down to lay down your life for one another. This is how you show the world that you are one. Something that is different. Something that human beings cannot. You find in the world, they cannot do this. Except you are only a Christian, and when the Holy Spirit is in you, you exhibit this. God gave you the grace to exhibit it. On this only one that condition that you should read the Word of God and the truth and say what God tells us what to do, and we do it, and then we show it, and in the end we all know that why we can become like this because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and whom God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, together with God the Father, God the Son has given us His Word, which is the truth, and God the Father also gave the Word together. And because He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we have become like this. That is the greatest testimony that the church or the Christians can have, can make an impact upon the world. So whenever we went to witness with someone, and then we asked that someone, and if that someone can say, wow, you Christians are really wonderful, how you care for one another, you help one another, even to make sacrifices for us. Well, that is one of the greatest testimony. One of the most, his greatest, very effective testimony of a Christian, that we should love one another. Now the third request. God made a final request And third request is given to us here. Here is in verse 22 to 24. Lord, let me read. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them to the disciples, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, I am in the disciples, and thou in me, that means the Father is in me, and they may be made perfect in one. So together, we are all together, one, unity there, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So here we find that the unity of God the Son and the children or the followers, the disciples of his Son, all united together. Now verse 24, Father, the God of Father, I will, Christ here said, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, and this is the third request of Jesus Christ here, the Son, third request, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Be with him, with Jesus Christ, where he is. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is in heaven. He has gone back, returned to heaven. Now he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. And so he said, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The glory that God has given to the Lord Jesus Christ, even before the foundation of the world. That means at the beginning. That means his glory, even before the condition, before the foundation of the world. There is pre-existence glory. A request. So the Jesus Christ request is this, that the glory that I had, which you have given me, even before the foundation of the world, is pre-existence glory. That glory, he hopes, he prays that God will also give to his disciples, that they may see that glory. Of course, that glory we know is in the future. It's when the Lord Jesus Christ have taken us all to be in heaven. And then we will see, and definitely here we will see his glory. And here he asked the Father to let them see that original, to see his glory, Jesus Christ's glory, which he had before the foundation of the world. And that glory cannot be now. So here the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given to us that glory. Yes, but it is yet to be fulfilled. Not yet, because we haven't got the glorified body which Christ has. But he has given us. In other words, he has already died for us. He purchased us and given us salvation. And then we are now, when we die, we will be caught up to be with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with God the Father, and we will be in heaven. And when the right time comes, and the time will surely come, when we will see the fullness of the glory of Christ, and we will be able to see in heaven when Christ returns. Here you say, right? I am tempted to read Revelation chapter 21, first five verses, what it would be like because we also will be in heaven, what it would be like. And he says here, and I saw, and here John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, one day we will all be there. If you are a Christian, you all will be there. A new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. So this present earth that we have here, all will pass away, and there will be no more sea. There will, when God create this new heaven, new earth, there will be no more sea. And I saw the Holy One, the Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared a bright adorn for her husband. Here, Israel is looked upon as the bride of Christ here. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And so you see there just now, the holy city and Jerusalem come down. And so God, the tabernacle of God, that means the entrance to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, is God is accessible now. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be with their God. So in heaven, we all will be with God, because he will be with us. He's in the midst of us. Now look at verse 4 as we carry on. And God said, and God shall what? Wipe away all tears. There'll be from their eyes, we will not cry anymore. In other words, all the evil things that happen in our life or the bad things that happen in life, we don't have to cry over these things. Wipe away all tears. We don't have to cry. There's no crying, and there'll be no more death. We all will live forever. Neither sorrow nor crying. All evil things, wicked things, all will not happen in heaven. Full of joy, neither shall there be any more pain. There's no pain, no infliction, no coronavirus, no, nothing at all. So no crying, no pain, no death. The former things are all passed away. Think of the former things today we are here on this earth. All passed away. Some of us may be suffering and then you have pain. Yes, I have aches and pains now at my age here. I have aches and pains on various parts of my body while we are still in this, when I'm still in this thing. When in heaven, all these things will pass away. There are no more. And we all will be alive with a glorified body, and we can see the glory, which the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, his pre-existent glory, glory that which he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. As he has said here, he said, let them see. Let my disciples, my followers, see all this in heaven. And God will surely answer them. God will say, yes, they will see. When we will be in heaven, that day will surely come. And it will be sooner than we think, we thought. Very soon, that the earth, this present earth, will be no more. And all of us who are Christians, born-again Christians, will be in heaven, in this paradise, the new heaven and new earth. What a wonderful hope that we have. Therefore, it is wonderful, when we share the gospel and we talk about salvation, we are not only talk about sins forgiven. We think of further. If you read the Word of God, then you know that further than salvation, what? This. How you on earth, we are sanctified through the truth. And then here you have the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer. Prayer for the disciples here on the earth, how they should treat one another, how they should express that love. That love that God showed to His, that God loved, that God the Father loved the Son, and the Son showed that love to us. That we all who are Christians showed that God's love for one another. And in the end, the third request of Jesus Christ, he liked the Father to let all of us see the full glory of Jesus Christ. And that will be a new heaven and new earth. That is the things that we all have hoped. Not only salvation, eternal life. You have life forever in the glorified body, yes. But more than that, all these things here, you just look. Two of the requests regarding our life here on this earth. Sanctify them through the truth. Our responsibility is to read the truth and do it. The second request is that they may be one and we show that love for one another. We show that kind of love, which is God love, Jesus Christ. Transmit that love, given that love that Christ, God the Father has for Him, and He also showed that love to us, and that we will love one another. And then in the end, what? How Christ prayed that we hope that that the Father will give to us the ability, the eyes to see His former glory, the glory that He had before the foundation of the world. And we all be together in heaven, new heaven and new earth. We have just read in Revelation chapter 1, chapter 21, verse 1 to 5, how John, the Apostle John, through the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, give us a glimpse of what heaven is like. No pain, no death. No, every evil thing, nothing, but everything that is wonderful and good. Will you be there? Is this your hope? Yeah, you all hope salvation. Are you saved? Yes, you're saved. You have eternal life? Yes. Now what more? There are much more. It's not written here for us. This is the secret of God. But He has given us a glimpse of it. How wonderful it is. So, with this passage, I've learned a few things like this. I've learned, first of all, what is my salvation? I've learned how am I sanctified? God the Father who sanctified me. But my responsibility is that I have to read His word, which He has given to us. The Lord Jesus Christ has given all of us and inspired all His followers, disciples, to write all the words, the truth. And we have to read, understand, and perform it. God, the Holy Spirit, will give us the ability to perform it. And when we do that,
and loving one another, we show we will be united in that way, together with the Father and the Son and His children, together united. And that is a great testimony. We, in this way, we will impact the world, which is now without Christ. And they will understand. You will see, these are special people chosen by God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. All praise and glory be to Him. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. It is. We only Christians who have this hope, and it's a sure hope because of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, He was on this earth. He lived a perfect life. And He paid the price to purchase us, to purchase for us the forgiveness of the remission of our sins. Shed His blood for the remission of sins. Like today, like we remember His death on the cross. His shedding of blood is to remove, cleanse us from all sin. That's why we can be reconciled with God, the Father, who is holy, perfect. And the Son. And then we, because through Christ's blood cleanse us, we are also perfect in that sense. Perfect to live, to be in the presence of God. How wonderful. That is our hope. That we are. And they are sure hope. And the next thing that we do, we need therefore to read the Word of God. Understand it. And to do God's truth. And express our love for one another. Let us pray.